I enjoyed the message. I hope all of you did. And hope we'll be not forgetful hearers, but remember what our brother has taught us and instructed us this evening. For the time I'm before you, I'd like to go back to where I've been yesterday and this morning some, and that is John chapter 15, where Jesus is teaching about himself being the vine and we are the branches. It's a beautiful picture of our relationship with Jesus Christ and our dependence on him. He would say in verse 4 of John 15, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." So Jesus Christ is simply saying that it's impossible for us to live the Christian life without him. Notice what he says in verse 5. "For without me, ye can't do much." No. "Without me, ye can do nothing." That's quite a statement, isn't it? Jesus Christ is telling you and me that without him, we cannot do anything that's pleasing in God's sight. That doesn't mean we can't go out and sin. Doesn't mean we can't go out and do things that are contrary to the will of God. But without him, we cannot do anything in the way of bearing fruit. And that's what our Lord wants out of us, is fruit. And the fruit he wants is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith. And throughout the Old and New Testaments, the Bible uses vegetation to illustrate the Christian life and how we are to grow. In yesterday, Brother Rick referred us to Psalms 1, where the righteous man is compared to a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Here in John 15, Jesus uses a vine and branches. In another place, Jesus uses a fig tree. Now, one lesson we can get about plants is this. You can't look at a plant and see it growing. If you plant a pine tree, you can't stand there long enough to see it grow. But you know it's growing. If it's getting the proper nurture, you can see it growing. You can plant turnips, whatever, and you're not going to stand there and watch it grow because you just can't do that. But over time, you know it is growing. Now, you can't look at yourself as a child of God and see where you are growing in love, growing in joy, growing in peace, but over time it does become manifest. And if you're full of the Holy Spirit and abiding in Christ, one day it'll occur to you, I'm more patient than I used to be. Where did that come from? It's the grace of God working in us and the Holy Spirit helping us to grow in patience. And one day you wake up and find yourself not feeling hard towards somebody that you used to feel hard toward. And you wonder, where did that come from? And that's the Spirit of the Lord working in us and helping us to grow in love. It's a beautiful thing. Joy, peace. It's not going to happen overnight, but it happens over time as we abide in Jesus Christ. And as I said yesterday, in this beautiful chapter, John 15, Jesus shows us how we can abide in Him by being clean through His Word. There's something about the Word of God that cleanses us. In one of the Psalms, Psalm 119, let me just turn back and look at that. Psalm 119. David will ask the question, verse 9 of Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Let's think about a young man that's wanting to live a good life. He's wanting to cleanse his way. He's wanting to behave. He's wanting to stay away from the evil and the wickedness. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The more time you and I spend in the word, the more it will cleanse us. It's like a bar of soap. And I can tell you another way that we can abide in Christ, and that is through prayer. How many of you all pray every day? Or you just wait until a crisis comes, one of the kids is sick, or you're facing surgery? No, prayer is something we ought to be doing all the time. Just driving down the road and say, Lord, help me. Or you see an ambulance coming by, and we have them there on Columbiana Road where we live right now in Birmingham. We live next to a retirement community, and we hear sirens constantly. And when I hear a siren, I just say, Lord, help whoever's in trouble. Because when you hear a siren, you know somebody's in trouble. Prayer ought to be as natural to the child of God as breathing is to the human body. We ought to just do it instinctively. Just pray. And see, it doesn't take long to pray. When the Apostle Peter wanted to walk on water, and the Lord told him to come, and he got out, and he was okay as long as he was looking to Jesus, but all of a sudden, he looked at the waves and got scared and started sinking. You remember what he did? He prayed. And it didn't take him all night to pray. He said, Lord, save, I perish. Did you know that's a complete prayer? It doesn't take long to pray, and you can pray all through the day. Pray, you think of your children, just pray for them. Ask the Lord. And by the way, prayer is not just asking and saying, give me. Prayer can, you can just see the, how many of y'all enjoyed the sunshine today? I'm telling you, it has rained ever since I've been in Georgia Friday. Rained on me all the way over here. Last night, I was in the camper, it was raining hard. I must say I enjoyed that. You know, it sounds good on that tin roof. But today, how many of y'all have enjoyed the sunshine today? I got out and walked 2 miles just enjoying the sunshine. See, you and I can just go through the day and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. So prayer is one way we can continually abide in Jesus Christ. Obeying His commandments. When we read in Scripture where we're to do something, let's just do it. And that's abiding in Christ. Obedience. These are ways that you and I can abide in Jesus Christ. And as we abide in Him, He abides in us, and He gives us the strength we need to bear fruit. Because all we need is going to come up through the vine, the roots of the vine. You cut a branch off of the vine, what's it going to do? It's going to die. And if you and I stop abiding in Christ, we wither. We can't bear fruit of ourselves. We have to abide in Christ. And why should we abide in Christ? Well, let's notice in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Listen to that. How many in this house tonight And I'm going to ask this to every last one of us, children included. How many of you all want to glorify your Heavenly Father? You certainly don't want to bring shame to Him. You want to glorify Him. Well, Jesus says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you talk about one another." That's a besetting sin, easily besetting sin. How do we glorify our Father? By trying to outdo other people in making money? How do we outdo? How do we glorify our Father? "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." That reminds me of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. If I can find that, over in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching us to behave ourselves, and he says in chapter 5 of Matthew in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you." No. "Let your light so shine." Jesus has given us all a light. If you're born of the Holy Spirit, you've got a light. I like that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." Y'all like that song? Well, let it shine. And you know what happens when you let your light shine? "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." When you and I are doing good works, it's a good reflection on our Father which is in heaven. So Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." As a pastor, when I see people loving one another, helping one another, caring for one another, to me it just glorifies the Father in heaven. I see the fruit that you're bearing, and it glorifies our Father which is in heaven. And it's not something that happens overnight, but over time, as you and I abide in Christ, we begin to bear fruit and more fruit and then much fruit. I tell you, I have seen some people in my life that were bearing much fruit. I mean, they were just full of love and joy and peace and long suffering. I never knew Elder Josh Chance, but I knew his widow, Sister Mandy Chance. Brother Josh Chance lived in this community and pastored Trail Branch. He might have pastored Cool Springs for a while. I'd be curious to know if you all could check that out. He was a wonderful minister. He passed away before I was born. But let me tell you, his widow. Now, Brother Josh left his wife very poor in this world's goods. She lived a very... You know, she barely got by financially, but I learned to be around her and love her so much that I named my second daughter after her, Amanda Grace. I named Amanda after Mandy Chance, a woman poor in this world's goods, but rich in faith, rich in fruit, and you could see it in her countenance. I wish I was more like Sister Mandy Chance. Those are the people that God recognizes. It's not behind the mighty, the jet setters. It's not people that are, you know, got all the latest fashions that they wear and the neatest shoes out there and jewelry. Those are not the ones that God is looking at and really valuing. He's valuing His children that are letting their light shine, that are bearing fruit. That glorifies the Father. That's what He wants out of us. He wants out of us fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. So, let's look at it now. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. You know what that means? You all can't sing in the Spirit without the Spirit. Y'all might be able to sing and it sounds good, but it may not be pleasing to God because it's not in the Spirit. Paul tells us to sing in the Spirit. Sing with the understanding and sing in the Spirit. And you could have a choir that can sing every note perfectly and God is not pleased with it because it's not coming from the heart. See, you can sing for praise or you can sing to praise. That's different, two different things, isn't it? If we're going to sing here at Cool Springs for praise, so people will go away singing, can't they sing good? That's wood, hay, and stubble. But if we're singing to praise God, that's acceptable in His sight. Now, I like good singing. I like it when the brethren get it pitched right. And we're blessed to have good leaders that get it pitched right. If it's too low or too high, I can't sing. So I appreciate brethren who get them pitched right and all that. But let me tell you, the acid test is, are we singing from the heart to glorify God? We had a sister at Statesboro where I pastored who was, her name was Johnny Lee Allen, and she was a Down syndrome child, and when she got older, her parents put her in Grace School in Augusta, Georgia. But Sister Johnny Lee was a member of the church. They said, you know, she'll never be baptized. She's scared of water. Down syndrome children are scared of water. Y'all remember Hoyt Brown? They didn't think Hoyt would be baptized, but he was, and he got along fine with it. We had a Down syndrome child in this church. He and I were the same age. He was a blessing. He used to direct the congregation when we'd have handshakes. He's letting his light shine. Well, Sister Johnny Lee, when she'd come back to Bethlehem for a weekend, you know, a holiday or whatever, she loved to sing. Now, she couldn't sing. I'll just be honest with you. She couldn't hit a note right, but she loved to sing. And let me tell you, our church loved to hear her. You say, Brother Sam, surely not. Yes. She loved victory in Jesus. She loved that song. And it just blessed us. And I believe it blessed God. It was fruit. It wasn't just works, mechanical works, singing. It was coming from the heart. And I want to tell you, preaching is the same way. Brother Wynn knows that. You can't preach without the Holy Spirit enabling you. We can get up here and make a talk, but you can't preach where it reaches people unless the Holy Spirit is with us. And that's why y'all need to be praying for the preachers. Because you don't want us to just get up here and mark time. You want to hear the gospel through the Spirit. If I may quote my mentor again, Elder Pat Byrd, he used to go to Virginia a lot, and they thought he was a big preacher in Virginia. And he could preach. Elder Byrd was a wonderful preacher. And they just, you know, they made a little idol out of Elder Byrd. Well, he took a young preacher with him up there on a trip. And when Elder Byrd was coming, they wanted to rent a high school auditorium because the crowd would be so big that the church building wouldn't hold the folks. So they rented this auditorium at the school and they used this young preacher. He got up first and he couldn't preach. He was scared of the people. He was stage fright. He had no liberty. And Brother Byrd was sitting there thinking, Lord, help him to sit down. I'll save the day. Now, Brother Byrd was not in the Spirit. He was not depending on the Lord. So when the young brother sat down, Elder Byrd got up. And God took away his liberty. Because they'd made an idol out of Elder Byrd. You can do that out of a preacher, you know. Elder Daugherty, when he was pastoring Bethlehem, he said the Spirit just finally, God just took the Spirit away from him, and he couldn't preach a lick at Bethlehem and Macon. And he'd get up and he would talk about making an idol out of the preacher, and that's what they had done. And you know, Brother Daugherty was an able minister. It would have been easy to have made an idol out of him if you didn't have better sense. One old lady came up to him and said, "When are you going to quit preaching on making idols out of preachers?" He said, "When you all quit doing it." He finally just gave them up. Anyway, Elder Byrd flopped, very disappointed. And when the service was over, a deacon got up and announced that they had rented this building and there was a lot of expense involved and if people would help. And Brother Byrd got up. He was a tall man. I remember him. He could reach out. He was tall. He had a wingspan. It was incredible. He said, "I got up and I said, just tell me the damages and I'll pay it." How dependent is Cool Springs Church on the Holy Spirit? Come on now. I hope you all understand the words of our Savior. "Without me, ye can do nothing." I don't care who the visiting elder is, and how gifted he might be, and how knowledgeable he might be. If the Spirit of the Lord is not in the house, it's a flop. We are dependent on the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." And I hope we'll always remember that, beloved. And so, what are the evidences that somebody is abiding in Christ? Well, here's one right here in verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." If you're being able to love people that are unlovable, and there's a lot of them, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but it's the truth, isn't it? This country is full of people that's hard to love. But if you are finding yourself beginning to continue in love, even loving those that are not easy to love, that's an evidence you're abiding in Christ. And the Holy Spirit is empowering you. See, if you're just going around judging everybody and down on everybody and picking on everybody, that's an evidence you're in the flesh and not in the Spirit. How many of y'all passed that test? Here's another evidence that we're abiding in Christ. We're obedient to His Word. He says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Another evidence of abiding in Christ, verse 7, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." See, if you and I are abiding in Christ, we're full of the Holy Spirit. We're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be asking things that are in accordance with God's will. We're not going to be asking for things according to the flesh. Verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." How many of y'all are joyful? Now, happiness depends on happenings, and we may be happy this minute and sad the next. Nelda bought me something the other day that I've enjoyed so much. It's on wood, and it's a painting, and it says, "It is well with my soul." It's right where I can look at it all when I'm sitting in my easy chair. "It is well with my soul." That hymn writer didn't say, "It is well with my circumstances." Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. I was talking to Brother Josh Coker this afternoon, and they had a wonderful day of worship and went out with some friends to eat, and he went home and had a migraine. Now, let me tell you, I've never had a migraine. How many of y'all have ever had a migraine? That's a real headache. He could not say it is well with my circumstances. But he was still full of joy about the service. You know why our joy is continuous? Because our joy is in the Lord and he never changes. See, the weather may be cloudy one day and smile, the sun shining the next. That's life. But I want to tell you, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can rejoice in him all the time. So may the Lord help us as individuals, as a church, to abide in Christ and bear much fruit. That is my prayer. Now, if you're here tonight and you love the Lord and you love the church and the Holy Spirit is nudging you to join and you don't, that's not pleasing to him. So we want to give you an opportunity now.